Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. And if you want to leave a voicemail message because you don't feel like waiting on the line to talk to me directly, feel free to go to SiriusXM.com/straight shooter. That's SiriusXM.com/straight shooter. There's a lot of stuff to get into. Obviously, there's some news in baseball involving the Philadelphia Phillies and, of course, the New York Mets. Make no mistake, I'll be getting into that as the show progresses today. Of course, there's still some fallout over Notre Dame being left out of the college football playoffs. The more this story goes on, the more disgusted I become, because I don't see what the damn the big deal is. As far as I'm concerned, they did it to themselves. But before we get into any of that, it's necessary to get in what transpired on Monday Night Football just last night in Los Angeles, California, at SoFi Stadium. The Los Angeles Chargers ended up beating the Philadelphia Eagles 22-19 in overtime. Jalen Hurts has to be a story, but in fairness, I don't think he should be the lone story. I think we got to look at my man A.J. Brown, who I love, who I think is a stud. I think he's a man amongst boys. At least one of those interceptions was because he had alligator arms. Went over the middle, the ball was right in his hands, he heard footsteps, and he didn't extend. We know that. Go ahead and look at the videotape. That's what happened. Another time late, fourth quarter. I mean, that was a dime that Jalen Hurts dropped right in his hands. You know, deep pass down the left sideline, left corner of the end zone, right in his hands. I know his arm got pulled away, got tugged away at the last minute. But the bottom line is that, hey, say what you will, but in the end, what it comes down to is that he didn't catch the pass. Now, when you look at somebody like him telling you what he tells you, all the problems that's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles, when you make the noise, you understand, it ain't just about talking, it's about walking too. When you make that noise, you got to handle your business. And that's not what happened with A.J. Brown last night. You can slice it any way you want to. Still had 6 receptions for 100 yards. Okay, Saquon Barkley, there was an APB out for him. I told y'all LAPD was searching for him. They found him last night. He showed up at SoFi Stadium, 122 yards, had a 52-yard run for a touchdown, no doubt about it. So, but if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you had a 100-yard rusher, you had a 100-yard receiver, and you still lost the game, which brings us to Jalen Hurts. Ultimately, 5 turnovers. 3 were on him. 2 may not have been, but certainly 3 were on him. Okay, he's got 5 turnovers. The Eagles have been averaging at least 3 turnovers a game over the last 3 games in their 3-game losing streak. Oh, by the way, in Jalen Hurts, turnover on one play, he had 2. Threw the interception, okay? Once he threw the interception, Cat fumbled the ball. Jalen Hurts got it and then fumbled it away himself. 2 interceptions in one play, never happened before. All right, to an NFL player. It happened to Jalen Hurts last night. And so we look at them right now, and we got to say this about the Philadelphia Eagles. They don't look good. And I'm here to tell you right now, even though everybody believes they should still win the NFC East, it's not a foregone conclusion. They kept the Dallas Cowboys' hopes alive. Dallas is still 1.5 games out. They're still 1.5 games out, period. They got a chance. They got a chance because everybody they play ain't going to be the Detroit Lions. Every place they play ain't going to be in the Motor City. All right? They've already played the Eagles twice. They played the Detroit Lions. And when you look at Dallas and the remainder of their schedule, these are very winnable games. Yeah, you got the Chargers coming up. But you know what? You also got the Commanders and the Giants or what have you. You got to see what the Dallas Cowboys do. Dallas Cowboys could win all of those games. We can't summarily dismiss the possibility that the Dallas Cowboys can end up running the table and the Philadelphia Eagles can continue to nosedive. Look at their schedule right there. You got the Vikings coming up, and then after that, the Chargers, and then you close out the season against the Commanders, all right? And I'm just looking at them and the Giants. Listen, they got a chance. They got a chance. Philadelphia Eagles schedule, put that up for me, please, because that's not something that could be ignored. When you look at the Eagles and their remaining games, and what they've got coming down the pike. You can't summarily dismiss the possibility that the Cowboys can catch up. Look at this game coming up. Yeah, you got the Raiders. You should win those games. You got two against the Commanders, and then sandwiched in between all of that, you got the Buffalo Bills. So the Eagles should absolutely positively win three of their final four games. Nobody is denying that. They better not lose more than one of those games, okay? But if that happens, who the hell knows what kind of position that'll put them in, particularly with the Cowboys expected to win three or four, if not run the table. Dallas Cowboys can't afford another loss. We get that part. But they could win their final four games. And that'll put more pressure on the Philadelphia Eagles, who seem ill-equipped to respond. Offensively, that is. Defensively, they did everything they could to win the game. They forced five turnovers. They sacked Justin Herbert seven times. Okay? He only completed 46% of his passes. Everything that you would have expected the Eagles defense to do, they've done. After giving up 7 points in that opening drive, a touchdown in that opening drive, they pretty much shut down the Chargers. So I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles right now, and I'm saying they're just not who they used to be. Something's missing. I don't know whether it's arrogance. I don't know whether it's taking stuff for granted. I don't know whether it's predictability on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know whether it's Petullo, the offensive coordinator, which is why folks egged his house, which was not the right thing to do. Make no mistake about it. But I did say on Monday Night Countdown yesterday, which I had the pleasure of being a part of. I was there for a Monday Night Football game. I was a part of Monday Night NFL Countdown with the ESPN crew. Swaggoo, Marcus Spears, of course, Jason Kelsey, of course, Ryan Clark and Scott Van Pelt. And we were all hanging out doing the show. And listen, I said this on national television. One thing that can't be ignored is that, listen, I'm not condoning anybody egging somebody's house. You know, they crossed the line. You know, that kind of hooliganism, there's no place for it. No doubt about it. That's absolutely positively true. And Nick Sirianni was absolutely right to call out folks in Philadelphia saying we need to do better. We need to be better. Absolutely positively correct. The problem is in Philadelphia, you know what they saying to the Eagles? You're absolutely right, Coach Nick Sirianni. Y'all need to be better. Y'all need to be better. Because that's not what's going on. And because that's not what's going on, you're looking at the Philadelphia Eagles and you're scared because you're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. There's a standard that you established and now everybody's looking at you and they're saying, yo, the standard's not being met. Offensively, you don't look, you've spent the vast majority of this season looking like hot trash. We got to call it like it is. And because it's been that bad, you're just kind of wondering. I mean, think about it. Look at the defense. Seven sacks, you forced three turnovers, you held Justin Herbert to 139 yards passing, and you still lost? How are you supposed to feel if you're the Philadelphia, if you're a Philadelphia Eagle fan right now? I'm not advocating egging somebody's house. I'm certainly not advocating anything lawless or engaging in hooliganism. I'm not trying to do that, but I do feel their frustration. You're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, and you're like, what the hell is going on? We can't seem to get anything right. Even when we got a 1,000-yard receiver, even when we got, 100-yard receiver last night and 100-yard running back last night and that APB that was out for Saquon Barkley, you found him. Even when all of those things are going on, still we find a way to lose a game where our defense plays at that kind of elite level. Five turnovers by the Philadelphia Eagles turned into a grand total of 6 points by the Los Angeles Chargers. And you still lost? How? How? You're just looking at this right now and you're saying, look, this is bad. And then I'm looking at Jalen Hurts. Season high, 40 pass attempts. You only completed 53% of those passes. Five turnovers, four interceptions and a fumble. A season worst 31.2 passer rating. Also ran for only 8 yards on four attempts. Why is Jalen Hurts only rushing for 8 yards? Hell, Justin Herbert did that on one play. On a final drive of regulation to set up the field goal. When he ran for 9 yards. How is Jalen Hurts rushing for only 8 yards? By the way, not in NFL history, the first player to commit a turnover, two turnovers on one play since 1978. That's as far back as the research goes, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. But I'm just looking at it right now, and it's like, I'm just at a loss. When you look at the teams and the way that they're playing right now, I think clearly in terms of a power ranking, the Rams are the number one team in the National Football League. A legitimate argument could be made the Packers are number two with the way Jordan Love is playing. Seattle is easily in the top five with their defense. It's just some question marks about Sam Darnold, who wins a lot, by the way, a lot more than most people notice. Just doesn't do it during the playoffs. Of course, the Patriots are in there. We can't summarily dismiss them. And one could argue that the Broncos need to be in the top five, or another could argue that the Texans need to be in the top five. I think the Texans have a very legitimate shot at representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I believe in the Houston Texans because of that defense. I believe in D'Amico Ryan's defense. I believe in Hunter and Anderson hunting, coming at you the way them brothers can. Can C.J. Stroud with Nico Collins, do they have enough offensively to make that kind of noise? I'm not sure they do. But it's not like we're anticipating they're going to be going up against Patrick Mahomes now, because we saw the Kansas City Chiefs fade. And now they got to win every game. And even if they do, they still might not be good enough. The Chargers are nothing to joke about, because even with two offensive linemen down, they're still winning football games 9-4 in the season. Second place in the AFC West. And they pretty much cemented that status. And Hampton is back. Marion Hampton out of the backfield running for them. And Virgil and those boys was running the football effectively before he got back. So now you know your running game is stout. You got Justin Herbert to fling the football. Okay? You got McConkey and Allen and those boys to catch the football. You got Justin Herbert throwing the football. And you got a defense that's no joke. Somebody got to win the AFC North. It's likely going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, who ain't going to win a playoff game in my estimation. I can't see them doing it. So we're talking about New England. We're talking about Jacksonville, unless the Texans catch them. We're talking about the Texans. We're talking about Denver and Los Angeles with Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Believe it or not, even though Buffalo looks worse than how they've looked over the previous couple of years or so, I think this is Buffalo's best chance to get to the Super Bowl, because neither Baltimore or Kansas City is looking the way they were supposed to look and the way we anticipated they would look. So you got all of that going on. The real battle is in the NFC. And whether or not Philadelphia is going to hold on, whether or not they look good enough and can be good enough to knock off some of these teams, whether it's Detroit, it's Green Bay, could Chicago, who was in first place before their loss to Green Bay this Sunday, end up missing the playoffs with an 11-win season? Yes. You got Seattle and L.A. What's San Francisco going to do? Who's going to win the South? Is it going to be Tampa or Carolina? But none of whom are perceived as really, really being a threat, because if you're Tampa, you don't have Godwin. You don't have Evans. Igbuka, if all three of them were healthy with Baker Mayfield, Tampa Bay would be a different beast, a different animal. But that doesn't explain how horrid their defense has been, especially under Todd Bowles, who's known for being an elite, stout defensive mind. There's a whole bunch of storylines going to the NFL, and we could talk about all of that right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. Let me transition to some baseball news, because I don't mind talking baseball. To Duke and Campanella talking baseball. I don't mind sometimes. Sometimes it's for good reasons, sometimes for bad reasons. On a day like today, it's for both. First, let me give you the good news. I want to applaud the Philadelphia Phillies. Kyle Schwarber, their designated hitter, Mr. 56 home runs, reached the deal. Age 32, will be 33 when the season's playing next year. Kyle Schwarber reached an agreement with the Phillies, 5-year deal, $150 million, average of about $30 million a year. Ladies and gentlemen, he deserves every penny. He deserves every penny. I don't mind a team paying you on the combination of what you've done while projecting what you'll be able to do moving forward. But I do think what you've done should hold slightly more weight than projections, because when somebody goes out there and put in that work for you, you need to reward them. Now, you had a whole bunch of teams going after Kyle Schwarber, including the New York Mets, who I'll get into in just a second. But ultimately, everybody and their mama knew that Kyle Schwarber wanted to stay in Philadelphia with Bryce Harper and the crew. Everybody knew that, Real Muto and everybody. Everybody knew he wanted to be there. He wanted to stay there. That's where he wanted to stay. Let me say this about Kyle Schwarber. 56 home runs, 132 RBIs, played all 162 games. Didn't miss a game. Yeah, I know he's not playing in the field as a designated hitter, but he didn't miss a game. And not only did he not miss a game, then he turned around, got walked 100 times. Not only did that happen, but also remember that for the last 4 years, the brother has hit a minimum of 38 home runs. And this past year is 56. What stopped him from being league MVP? What made him come in second in the voting instead of first? Shohei Ohtani, the modern day Babe Ruth. That's who. Now, we know nobody's Barry Bonds, the greatest hitter of all time. We know nobody's Barry Bonds. But in terms of a player, overall, their versatility and what they bring to the table, not just as a hitter, but in Shohei Ohtani's case, as a pitcher as well, he's the modern day Babe Ruth. That is what stopped. By the way, a modern day Babe Ruth that hit over 50 home runs himself. He hit like 53 home runs. But the modern day Babe Ruth is the only thing that stopped Kyle Schwarber from being the league MVP. National League MVP. Let's get that out of the way. You're the Philadelphia Phillies. You did right because he could have got $40 million a year from the Mets. I got numerous sources in Major League Baseball. I'm not the aficionado there. You know, Doggy is Mad Dog Russo. You know, the great ones like Tim Kirkchin and Buster Olney and Jeff Passan and all of these guys. This is what they do for a living. You just have to understand that you're listening to your boy Stephen A., who's been in the business for 30 plus years. And I know all of these people, plus a ton of others. So because of that, it's not my expertise. I just know who the experts are and how to get to them. So this is what I've been told. You've got a situation where, and that doesn't even count the actual personnel for the teams that I know too. But the point is, I heard Kyle Schwarber could have got $40 million a year from the New York Mets. He wanted to stay in Philly. Now, you might say 5 years is a little bit too long because he's that now. He's going to be 33 when the season begins next year and he's playing in the season. What's he going to do at age 37? What's he going to do at age 38? I understand that, but hell with all of that. It's about the here and now. And everybody got to get their money while they can. And what Kyle Schwarber did was say, I'm happy in Philadelphia. I'm settled in Philadelphia, and I'll take $30 million a year. It's more with the aggregate if I had gone to New York, but the bottom line is averaging $30 million a year, getting those years. More in aggregate in New York, in Philly, I'm sorry. But the point is that he's getting $150 million. Not $120 for 3 years, but $150 for five. And that gives you more security. That's what he did. I think he deserved more, even as a designated hitter, because of what he brings to the table, not just as a hitter, not just as one in clutch situations, not just as somebody that hits the long ball, but also his leadership on that squad. Now, they haven't won a championship, and I get in recent memory, and I get that part. That's because the damn Dodgers are standing in their way. Which brings me to the New York Mets. You're David Stearns. You're Steve Cohen. What the hell is up with you? You don't lose an Edwin Diaz. Now, my sources tell me folks believe he's lost a little bit of velocity off of that fastball. And the data shows that slide ain't what it used to be. I get that part. I watched him a few times this year. Even with his ERA under 2, I still saw that drop off from the previous year too. I got it. But you're not just paying him for what he did. He's still capable. And Evan Williams, who you brought over for 3 years and $51 million, I don't know if him along with others going to be able to offset the loss of Diaz, but here's the biggest reason why. The reason why is because you don't lose Diaz when you know he can end up going to the Dodgers. At some point in time, if you're the New York Mets, yo, are you going to stop being a fair-weather stepchild? And Steve Cohen, if you're listening, my man, you're the richest owner in Major League Baseball. You're worth over $23 billion. And you're $3 million apart with Edwin Diaz compared to his offer from the Dodgers, and you can't come up from $66 to $69 million. You serious? You serious right now? You serious right now? Now, from what I'm told, I don't know whether it's 325, but I don't remember whether it was 325, 335, 340, whatever amount of money the Mets paid last year, Steve Cohen basically told Stearns and the crew, I don't want to spend more than that this year. He's paying like 110% for any contract he signs because of taxes and things of that nature. So hypothetically, somebody like an Edwin Diaz is going to cost you about $46 to $48 million if you're giving him $23 million a year. It's going to cost you more than double that. I got that part. I'm going to go back, Steve Cohen, and tell you, you are $23 billion. $23 billion. And the Mets haven't done anything. You missed the playoffs. After that great year you had last year that was so compelling, so interesting. When you beat Milwaukee, you ultimately fell in the Dodgers. And everybody was looking forward to the Mets being something this year. You're going to go out there. You don't get Schwarber. You lose Diaz. Really? You lose your closer? A guy considered one of the top three closers in the game? You serious? You serious? The only person associated with the Mets organization that should feel good about what happened with losing Diaz to the Dodgers, the reigning two-time defending World Series champion Dodgers, the only person that should feel good about that is Pete Alonso, your first baseman. Because I'm here to tell you right now, you got to keep him. I don't give a damn if he's going to lose time at first base because we ain't told somebody else is what you're going to try there. I don't care about all of that. You cannot lose Pete Alonso after losing out on Schwarber and letting Edwin Diaz walk out the door. You better not. You can't do it. You can't do it. You got to get it done. Steve Cohen, there was somebody named George Steinbrenner once upon a time. And I know you may not remember that name too well because, you know, his son is there running the team and the Yankees ain't done a damn thing in free agency. Not a damn thing worth mentioning yet. Okay? And that pisses me off to no end too. But that's neither here nor there because everybody knows I'm a Yankee fan. My point to you, Mr. Cohen, owner for the New York Mets, sir, George Steinbrenner would not have allowed this to happen. See, when you come to New York and you're trying to knock off the Goliath and you go out and you get somebody like Juan Soto, who's a gem for you, that ain't enough. Because this is baseball and one man can't win it for you. You got to have a team. And Juan Soto left New York to come for you because he thought yours was going to be the culture of winning. That's what he thought. Now, we could sit up there and say, hey, you making astute decisions. You're not trying to spend this money. And if you're going to spend this money, you want people to produce. I got that part. George Steinbrenner was that way, too. But you know what he did? He mandated that guys step up and produce or else. Your or else is what we're missing here. Because what we're hearing is about money from a $23 billion man who's probably going to be building casinos in Queens, New York, around Citi Field and stuff like that. Going to try to establish your own version of LA Live or something like that around Citi Fields in Queens. And props to you. That'll be great for the local economy. I support you, Mr. Cohen. I really do. But you cannot. And I'm not talking about just a player. You cannot be losing people to teams that are going to be standing in your way. You cannot do that. You can't, especially when no matter what level of success you have, every single season, the Yankees always appear to be better. You get to a divisional playoff series, they get to the ALCS. You get to the ALCS, or you get to the NLCS rather, they get to the World Series. Even when they lose, they still are playing longer than you play. You got to change that, Mr. Cohen. You got to change that. You too, Mr. Stearns. And by the way, that's a big-time name you're carrying. I know it's yours. Your mama gave it to you. But there was another person in New York City named Commissioner David Stern, God rest his soul, for the NBA, who could be tyrannical with his own tendencies. But by God, was he a winner. And what he did to build the NBA and the role that he played. You can't have a name like that and just be fading into the twilight. You got to win too. Sometimes these people drive me crazy, y'all. They really, really do. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. To your phone calls we go in just a few minutes. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls, your voicemail messages, and more in a minute.